Okay, let's, we have a lot to do this morning. So let's get started. Let's first of all have a word of prayer. And people like to remind you that it's not a ritualistic prayer. It's a very important prayer. It's a prayer to test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Spirit, who is a true teacher, and the power for making the worship of God a reality. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity to come and worship you with others who are like-minded. We thank you so much for this humble assembly and how you use it in so many different ways. We pray now, Father, that our worship this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to close 2018 this morning with kind of a theme for 2019, and I hope it will be the encouragement of your life. Stand up for Jesus. Hymn number 391. Hymn number 391.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. A victory unto victory, here on he shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished, Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. For to the mighty conflict, it is his glorious day. He who on his last served him, against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger, and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, he cannot trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next of victor's song. To him who overcometh, all crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
Okay, thank you. I tell you, for a small group, you'll make good noise. Now let's talk about prayer, and let's start with our friend Jim Langston. Jim and Annette are home this morning. Jim is still having a lot of trouble right now. The main thing that Jim is facing is difficulty in sleep, and it's probably medications. People, please be in prayer for Jim. He is a servant of the Lord. He's a servant of this assembly. And also in that same score, please be in prayer. We need to solidify some backups for Jim and running the internet. To me, it's just a very important outreach of this assembly. Julie, about how many countries do we go into now? 124 countries. People, that's just astounding. And that's part of your prayer life. So let's be in prayer. And Kit and Julie have done a lot of good work here, but we're going to need some more help as far as keeping this going on Wednesday night, two times on Sunday morning. So please be in prayer for Jim and Annelle. Please be in prayer for our own assembly as far as the backup and supporting of that area of ministry that Jim has served for so many years. So please do that. Now, from that, how's young Thomas doing? Doing good. Good. Thomas is one of our young men. How old is he now? 22. How old was he when he was?
He's 7 years post-transplant. Yeah, bone marrow transplant.
Bone marrow transplant. And for a while we thought he was good. He was in intensive care for, what, 2-3 weeks? And we had a prayer meeting up at the hospital. And but here he is, 22, doing well.
Yeah, I can share many miracles.
Yeah. That's wonderful. All right, any other? Yep.
I mean, I knew how, but I used it.
Great. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
I've got 2 prayer requests. Number one was for my friends at work, family. Her name is Leticia, L-A-T-E-I-S-H-A. Her brother-in-law, he's in the 30s, and he passed away abruptly of a heart attack. Yeah, very strong, the believer, but it's still really hard for them to really swallow, a very young family. And the second one is another ex-co-worker of mine, Takesha. Her father just passed away 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who was that pastor, Julie?
Huh?
Who was that passed away? Her father?
Her father. That's Takesha, T-A-K-E-I-C-H-A. A very strong believer as well. Yeah, she was my prayer warrior partner.
Very good. Wow. We'll be in prayer for the family.
Just
yes.
Here at Christmas for them. Yeah.
I have a good friend of mine posted on Facebook for prayer requests for a family. It's her husband's coworker of 20-plus years. It was a mom and dad and 2 daughters driving back from San Angelo on Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. Got hit head-on. Mom and dad went to be with the Lord immediately. The 14-year-old got care flighted to a hospital. The 16-year-old was just had some broken bones. And they put the sisters together, but within 24 hours, the 14-year-old went to heaven also with her mom and dad. So pray for this 16-year-old girl. Just breaks my heart.
Yes.
And then she posted an update that the car that hit them was 8 members, and 2 people died in that car, but they had slid on the wet roads and went across the medium and just hit them head on. And so they're all believers. And so her name is Alexa Mikulik. It's M-I-K-U-L-I-K. And she's 16 years old. I don't know any more about them. My friend did post a picture of the family, and I guess they were on the news. I think they're probably from the Frisco area because that's where my friend was from. That's all I know so far.
Now, the 16-year-old is the one that has survived.
She's
And what's her first name?
Alexa.
Alexa. Yeah.
And the 8 in the other car were?
They didn't give names or anything. They just said that the news had mentioned there were a family of 8 and 2 members died in that car as well.
Okay. Need our prayers.
Yeah.
Okay, any other prayer requests that we need to be aware of? Okay, the Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity. For God loveth the gracious giver. With this in mind, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the use of this humble assembly, our young people, missionaries, internet, and right here in our own assembly. We pray, Father, you receive the offerings we're about to give. You'll continue to use these offerings to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. not have it. Okay, everyone have a copy? Somebody asked where the handout was for the 9:15 class. We don't do the handouts for the 9:15 class. People, I'm thankful. I'm thankful all the time to Kit, who laboriously goes through this. You ought to see what I send him and what you get as two entirely different documents. And so appreciative for Kit getting this one ready for this class. And so let's begin our study of Colossians 3:17 this morning. And let's start with a word of prayer. Prayer is very important. Test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Spirit. He's the teacher, not me. God could have put a rock up here and do a better job. But God has chosen to use men that He's given the gift to. And it's the Holy Spirit who is the teacher. Let us prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God, which I remind you, this is the most dangerous thing you'll do in life, to open that Bible. It's the most dangerous thing you will do, because it can be seen so wrong, so much from the flesh, religiously, so many different wrong interpretations. This is the most dangerous thing we'll do, is open the Word of God. And by the way, before we pray, I have one other announcement. Tomorrow night is the last night of the year. It's our tradition for some 45 years to have a New Year's Eve service. We're going to have it tomorrow night. However, a couple of years or some years ago, I stopped doing it at 9 and ending at midnight. I now started 7, ending at 9. I can still paint the town red. I have to start at 4 o'clock, though. But I got to be in bed by 10. So, we'll start tomorrow night, New Year's Eve, 7 o'clock. And then we'll have about an hour study of the challenge. And then we'll have a break, some food, fellowship. Bring some snack food, please. And then we'll have some fellowship. Then we'll come back, finish the challenge, have communion. Take out the old year. Bring in the new year, celebrating the communion service, and then we'll close. No class Wednesday night. It'll take you that long to recover. And we'll be back tomorrow night and then next Sunday morning, and then we'll be back to our full schedule on Wednesday night. But so remember, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock, with an 8 o'clock, around 8 o'clock, a break for fellowship and a little communion with each other. Okay. Let's have a word of prayer. Get ready for the study of the Word of God. Let us pray. We are so thankful for the Word of God, Father. We're so thankful that You have seen fit to reveal Yourself to us in Your inspired, inerrant, infallible Word. But Heavenly Father, we would be no better off if it was not for Your Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher, who guides us. So Father, we pray now Your Spirit will open our eyes to things You would have us to see in truth in the passage before us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I wish that I could say, though you would know better, that I planned it this way. That the last Sunday of 2018, we'd be studying giving thanks, getting ready to go into 2019. But I can't. The Holy Spirit did it, so that's how we're going to end this year and bring in the new year. The book of Colossians is one of the most Christ-centered books of the 66 books of the Bible. It shouts the answer, why Jesus Christ? Nearly every time I do a funeral now, I asked that question. When I first started the ministry 45 years ago, I didn't have to. But today in our society, why Jesus Christ? What makes Him so special? Well, this book of Colossians shouts the answer to that. Now, the reason we're going to go through a quick look at Colossians to where we are is because next Sunday morning, we start a whole new momentum and paragraph in Colossians 3. We're going to start looking at marriage. We're going to start looking at the family relationship. And this score, I recommend the movie The Mule. with Clint Eastwood's movie. Now, the thing about it is, that part's fun, but it's really a superb message on the family, the importance of the family. It took this man, in reality, it's based on a true story, until he was 90 years old to realize how important. So we'll take a look at that next Sunday morning. But let's take just a quick run through where we are in this great book of Colossians. First of all, it is the first two chapters, Paul presents the preeminence of Jesus Christ. He is preeminent in creation of all things. Colossians 1, 15 through 18. God the Father is not the creator. The second member of the Godhead, who will become man incarnate, is the creator of all things. God the Father is the author. Second, he is preeminent in redemption, our salvation. Colossians 1, 19 through 23. Jesus Christ supplied the completeness to our everlasting salvation. No works can even be added to the cross work of Christ. It's received by faith and faith alone. And then, he is preeminent in the church. Colossians 24 through chapter 2, verse 3. He is the head of the church, the head of every local church. Every pastor teacher is but a shepherd, and he should always remember that of the Lord. We speak of our being in Christ by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but do not ever forget the great mystery. Colossians 1:27, the mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are in Christ by the baptism of the Spirit. Christ is in you by faith in Jesus Christ. Chapter 2 is devoted primarily to the protection of our faith in Christ. Colossians 2:5 states that fact. 1. Protection against enticing words by speakers. Colossians 2:4-7. It is here that Paul tells us how we're filled with the Holy Spirit. As you have received Him, so walk. We received Him by faith. We're filled with the Spirit by faith. People, I just want to remind you, there are so many preachers throughout the world that give enticing words of false messages. Works by salvation by works. Just all kinds of lies. You've got to be protected. Secondly, protection against vain philosophies. Colossians 2:8-10. Protection against being judged by others. This is one of the great handicaps, and it's a shame because we're commanded not to judge one another. But one of the great occupations of Christians is to judge others. And second to that is to judge God. And then third, judge themselves. All three lead to catastrophe. So, we are protected against being judged by others. Colossians 2:11-17. It is here that we find the important passage that the Mosaic law has been removed from us by nailing it to the cross. Colossians 2:14. Then protection of rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Colossians 2:18-19. Remember, the first thing that happens after the rapture, every born-again believer will stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, will have our lives evaluated by Christ. You're saved eternally. No loss of salvation. But after the rapture, every one of us individually will stand before Christ. How will he be able to do that for every believer of the church age from the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 till the rapture? Because people, I'm afraid with most of them, it's just going to be next, 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 next. Not going to have anything to be rewarded about. Because they don't know how to live by faith in the Holy Spirit. That's the great issue. We'll be evaluated by your faith in the Holy Spirit. Not by works, but by your faith in the Holy Spirit. Then in chapter 3, the believer's union with Christ in his death, burial, resurrection, ascension and session at the right hand of God the Father is the foundation on how we live our lives. And the word since is from the Greek. Since you have died with Christ, Colossians 2:20, since you have been raised up with Christ, Colossians 3:1, since those two things are true, let the peace of Christ umpire in your hearts, Colossians 3:15, always being thankful, Colossians 3:15, let the word of Christ dwell in you, Colossians 3:16, continue all your life getting to know the teachings about Christ. Then Colossians 3:17, and all, whatever things, this is the correct translation, and all, whatever things, if you do, I don't know what you're going to do this afternoon, but whatever you do, if you do it, do in word and deed, or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him, Jesus Christ, to God our Father. And there's our study for this morning. Giving thanks. This is not an imperative mood. This is a present active participle. Why not an imperative command? Give thanks. Why is it a participle? Present participle. Because people, this describes what should characterize your life. The present tense should be active in your life every day, all day long. That's why Paul does not use the imperative, uses a present active participle to point out how this should characterize our lives. People, you brush your teeth, comb your hair, put on clothes, give thanks to God. It should be that much of a routine. It should be that much part of our living, just as these other things are. Constantly is the way I want to translate the present participle. Constantly giving thanks through Him. Everything we have comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. Even the privilege of thanksgiving. Everything. Our salvation. Our spirituality, blessings in time and eternity, and the joy of giving thanks comes through the person of Christ. Constantly giving thanks through Him to the God, and I put in the definite article because it's there in the original, to the God, even the Father. Now there are people who want to give thanks to Jesus Christ, even to the Holy Spirit. But I'm sorry, the Word of God makes it clear. We are to pray to God the Father. People, this is powerful. They didn't do this in the Old Testament. They recognized Him as Father, but they didn't pray to Him as Father, they didn't relate to Him as Father. You and I can. Why? Because He is the Father of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And because of our relationship with Christ, being in union with Christ, He becomes our Father. It's a great privilege. And I will remind you one more time. Why did Christ come? To take us to the Father. That's why He came. So don't ever say, well, I want to pray to Jesus. I want to pray to the Holy Spirit. I'm wonderful. No, Christ died on the cross so that you and I could come to the Father. That's why He came. Use this to in your prayer life. Let your prayers, your thanksgiving, be in accordance with the Word of God, which directs us, one, to give thanks to God the Father. Two, through the authority or by the authority of Jesus Christ, our position in Christ. Three, in the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. People, if you desire to follow Jesus Christ, then follow Him in His prayer of thanksgiving. Got to follow Him. We know to follow Him in love, or to follow Him in His prayer life. Now, what I want to do is just take some notes, call it a doctrine if you please, the doctrine of Thanksgiving, some notes on Thanksgiving from the Word of God. Some of these things you'll know, most of them you probably will, just to, as we close out the year, coming off of 3:17, orient you. Point one, the most inclusive verse on Thanksgiving is Ephesians 5:20, where we are exhorted to always give thanks to God the Father for all things in the name or authority of Jesus Christ. Note five things. One, always. Throughout the day. Good, bad. Giving thanks. 3, for all things. How can I give thanks? How can I give thanks when my parents have died in an automobile wreck? How can I give thanks? This requires that we understand God, that we know Him, that we know He is sovereign, that He's in control of all things, and that He can work all things to good to those who love Him. In this particular case, the 16-year-old girl could give thanks. Her father and mother are with Jesus Christ right now. What could be better than that? Secondly, she will be with them forever and ever. What could be better than that? So we have to give thanks for all things, not just the good things. 4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And 5, to God, even the Father. 2, thanksgiving is required of every born-again believer, to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. 3, we are not to give thanks to Jesus Christ, but follow Him in our prayers of thanksgiving. Be thankful, as Christ was thankful. We are to follow Him. We are to love as He loved. We're to pray as He prayed. We're to give thanks as He gave thanks. Give you some ideas. Part 1. Jesus Christ gave thanks for food. Passages involved. 2. Jesus Christ gave thanks for unanswered prayer. Or for answered prayer, excuse me. For answered prayer. John 11:41. Father, I thank You that You've heard me. John 11:38-44. You ever thank God for answered prayer? I do that all the time. 3, this one's interesting. Jesus Christ gave thanks for His own suffering on the cross. At the Last Supper, Jesus Christ gave thanks for the bread and the wine, the cross. And the passages are given to you that you can look at them. But the bread, especially the wine, looks at the coming of the suffering of Christ. He gave thanks for His own suffering for our benefit. And then 4, this will be difficult for some people to grasp. Jesus Christ gave thanks by praise to God, His Father, for the revealing and concealing of His will. Luke 10:21. Very quickly remind you, the Bible does 2 things at the same time. It reveals and conceals. It conceals the truth if you do not want to see it. It reveals the truth if you want to see it. Isaiah 28. But they did not want to see the truth, because every time they opened the Word of God, what they saw was do and do, do and do. Give and give, and all that. They missed it. They missed it. All that He asked for us is our faith. Trust me. Trust me. But they would not listen. So, what happened? The Word of God will become to them. Do and do, do and do. Why would God do that? Because they don't want to see the truth. How can a preacher get up and teach lies and false teachings from this book and be so confident about it? He refuses to see the truth. He does not want to see grace through the Word of God. So he constantly gets up and teaches, do and do, do and do. You can lose your salvation, lordship salvation, all these kind of lies. Because that's what he sees. He doesn't see the grace of God. So Jesus Christ gave thanks that the Word of God reveals and conceals. Major point 4. There are a few requirements for bona fide thanksgiving. Thanksgiving that is acceptable to God. Now, what am I saying here? You mean somebody can pray and it's not acceptable to God? Absolutely. You pray in the flesh, it doesn't get any higher than the ceiling. You want to pray in the power of the Spirit. I know we've got a lot of pages to do here, but I'm going to ask you to turn to Psalm 86 a moment. I'm going to show you something. This is not in my notes. This is free. Psalm 86. We're looking at the point that prayer must be in the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at Psalm 86, verse 1. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me. See? And then look down at verse 6. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Give heed to the voice of my supplications. So what all I want you to see there was, people, the prayer, the joy, the privilege we have of praying, but it is the compassion of God, it is the grace of God, it is the mercy of God that we even have that privilege. I don't know if you think about it, it's a great privilege to be able to pray to the sovereign, omnipotent God. It's a privilege. Take advantage of it. The best way I know how to relate this is in the military. If you're a private, forget ever seeing the general. Because if you're a private and you come before a general, it's bad news. You're not up there just to talk to him. You don't get to just walk in and say, well, Jen, let me talk to you today. Tell you about how things are going. You don't get to. You don't even want to see him. See? You don't even get to see the division commander. You may get to see the company commander. The only one you're really going to see is a second lieutenant who's trying to be a first lieutenant, and he's bad. See? We have the privilege, every minute, just going to the sovereign, omnipotent God and letting our requests be made known to Him. So point 4, modified prayer that is answered by God. Give ear. Listen to me. All right, why? Point 1, in the power of the Holy Spirit and from a grateful heart. Ephesians 6:18, Jude 20, Romans 6:26. When we pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, we are assured that our prayers are in agreement with the plan of God. How do you know your prayers are in agreement with the plan of God? That comes under prayer preparation. Can I ask God this? Can I ask God that while I'm robbing the 7-Eleven, I don't get shot in the back? See? Is that a bona fide prayer? No. See? You got to know, what can I pray to God? What can I pray to Him? When you pray in the power of the Spirit, you're assured of one thing. It's a bona fide prayer to the plan of God. Secondly, thanksgiving is always addressed to God the Father. Colossians 3:17. 3, in the name or authority and relationship with Jesus Christ. Christ in you, you in Christ. 4, we are to give thanks for all things. 1 Thessalonians and Ephesians 5:20. Yes, even for the bad things that happen, for the disappointments of life. Give thanks to God for His answers to your prayers and needs. People, sometimes things happen in life because God wants you close to Him. You're drifting away. So rouse your chain. I got a short chain on my neck. He doesn't let me get too far out there, and He jinks me back. And I feel like that dog, drop back. Keep a short chain. He wants you to think of Him. He wants you to come to Him. So disaster may come about to get you close to Him. 5, we are to continually give thanks. Colossians 3:17, Ephesians 5:20, principle. What you continually give thanks for are the things you will value and protect in your life, like your salvation, your filling of the Holy Spirit, your spouse, your local church, your pastor teacher, your friends, your job, your children. I don't know why that's not on there. Your children. People, if you give thanks for your husband and your wife daily, you'll value them daily. If you don't, they just, you know, it's very long. That's the way a lot of people live their marriage. They live like a lot of people do their church. Well, I don't go to that church, I go to another one. I pass 20 to get to the one I've come to. See? So, it's things you value, you give thanks for, you value all the more. 6, continually giving thanks expresses capacity for life, capacity for freedom, capacity for adversity. How can you give thanks if you don't have the capacity for adversity? Capacity for comfort, capacity for life, which includes capacity for thanksgiving, which comes from the Holy Spirit by means of growing in the Word of God. True thanksgiving is not an emotional response, but a response of the truth that is in your soul. You're conscious of what God is doing. And then 7, thanksgiving should always emphasize the person, never the gift. Should emphasize the person. Occasionally I like to tell you, I love that old woman that reared me. What a grand woman. We were little kids, we had Christmas, and all the aunts and uncles would be there. And now that I'm an adult, I really feel for my uncles. I think back looking at them drinking coffee at 7 in the morning at our grandparents' house. I mean, they'd get up and be there at 7. Boy, I feel sorry for Uncle Frank, because he was tough. And he'd be there, though. But what we would do, go in and have the gifts. And no matter what the gift was, my mother was right near us. Bang us on the head if we didn't. Thank you, Aunt Elsie, for these cookies that I'll never eat. See? But we had to learn to say thank you. It was not the gift. That's what she was teaching us. It's not the gift. It's the giver. Get your mind on the giver. God is the giver. Get your mind on Him, not on the gift. People are disappointed at Christmas. They got their mind on gifts. If they're disappointed about somebody not, that's given. Your mind's on the giver. See, that's the whole thing with thanksgiving. So, thanksgiving expresses God the Father, the giver of the gift, and Jesus Christ, the person through whom we receive the gift. Now let's go to Roman numeral 5. Here is one that may escape you. We are to give thanks for one another. But I don't like those people at church. See? I don't like that person. I don't like the way they drive. I don't like the way they look. And I don't like their kids at all. See? All this kind of stuff. You've got to straighten out your attitude. You've got to get into the spiritual love of the Holy Spirit. We should daily give thanks for husband, wife, children, parents, fellow believers in the church. And I just put this in here. Often Gerald Weber in Houston, Phyllis Music in Florida, Don Becker in Iowa, Cindy Edwards, Mike Bell in Texas, tell me to express to you their thanksgiving for you to have access to the Internet so that they can listen and grow in the Word of God. And they ask me to express their thanksgiving to you. See? So, I give thanks for you that I can sit at home and study the Word of God. And that you want to hear it. You want to know what the Word of God says. And I'm thankful for you who want to know that. Because there's nothing great about coming here. The building isn't great. We have no choir loft. We don't even have a choir. We don't have a bowling alley. We don't have a lot of things. What we do have is the truth of the Word of God and fellowship in Christ. Alright, Roman numeral 6. We are to give thanks to God every time an unbeliever believes in Jesus Christ as Savior. I hope you witness, and I hope when they do respond, you give thanks immediately. 2 Corinthians 4:15. For all things are for your sakes, your benefit, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people, that is the grace of the gospel, more and more people are believing in Jesus Christ as Savior, may cause, this introduces our response to the spreading of the gospel on the Internet, missionaries, publications, see, may cause the giving of thanks to abound, increase to the glory of God for the saving of souls. So tomorrow, day in and day out, thank God. The people in America throughout the world are believing in Christ. Many are hearing our Internet, responding to the truth of the Word of God. give thanks. Value it. Roman numeral 7. A local assembly of believers should be known for giving thanks. Different assemblies are known for different things. An assembly should be known that is a thanksgiving assembly. Ephesians 5:3. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints, that is proper among believers, that these things are not mentioned above them. Verse 4. And there must be no filthiness, silly talk, coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks, giving of thanks to God for His doing. Spring Valley Bible Church should be known for giving thanks for all the opportunities He gives this humble assembly. I'm just overwhelmed. There are not many people here. Look how many things we do. The internet. The young people. The camp. So much that we do. Missionaries. He gives us that opportunity. Roman numeral 8. Thanksgiving is the result of all blessings God has given you. Colossians 2:6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, so walk in Him. Verse 7. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him by means of the teaching of the Word of God and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Roman numeral 9. Biblical warning. I have to put this in, people. There's a warning about not giving thanks. It's a warning. See, I learned that as a kid. Bat in the back of the head was a warning. See? So I knew that was coming. I didn't. Well, there's a warning from God. God Himself closes Psalm 50 with a severe warning in regard to thanksgiving. Psalm 50, verse 22. Now consider this. What does that mean? Think about it. Just go through your mind. Think about this. Don't just speed read. Think about this. You who forget God. Or I, God, will tear you in pieces. And then the horrible thing, there'll be none to deliver. Now consider this. He starts out with a particle of exhortation. Now, urgency. It's time now to do something before it's too late. Next we have the Cal imperative. It is a command to stop emoting, stop thinking about yourself in the self-centered life, and to start thinking, concentrating on what is going on in your life and what is not going on in your life. The verb to discern what is happening in your life, to stop, take a look at all the things going on in your life. What are you doing with your life, your time, your money in reference to Christ? This is an excellent time of the year, bringing in the new year. Think about it. Think about it. Well, I'll make a New Year's resolution. I'm going to get rid of this. I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. I'm going to build these up. I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. People, make your New Year's resolution spiritual. Spiritual. Show that you understand what's important in life. See? This is an area where the believer must be honest. Do not deceive or lie to yourself. You can lie to others, but only a fool lies to himself about himself. Next we have the demonstrative pronoun, this. What are you to consider in the next verse? Something about offering thanksgiving. But before we get to what you are to concentrate on in verse 23, let's look at the negative. If you don't offer thanksgiving in the rest of verse 22, there is something you better know about not concentrating and not offering thanksgiving. So, verse 22b, God declares what's going to happen if we do not offer thanksgiving. And I'm going to tell you something. This applies to individuals. Applies to nations. And America's moving in a non-thankful course. A collision. So you better do something about yourself and your own attitude of thanksgiving. You parents better do something, some very serious thinking about your children. To have a constant attitude of thanksgiving to God. See, it's very easy for my brother and I to do that. Every Christmas, birthday, whenever we got anything, give thanks, give thanks. It was easy to make that transition. Give thanks to God. Well, of course. I've been trained to give thanks. Give thanks to God. So parents should do some serious thinking about teaching their children to have a constant attitude of thanksgiving to God. Appreciation for life from God. People, why would somebody become a drug addict, alcoholic, these kind of things? Because they don't value their own life. Don't value their own life. I'm so thankful for the church I grew up in. It wasn't a legalistic church. But we were taught about these things. Not legalistically, but God has given you a body. Such as it is, somebody else has a better looking one. Somebody else has a taller one. See? All these kind of things. But it's the only life, and it's your gift. Value it. Thank God for it. Blessings from God. So many parents today actually contribute to the me generation by failing to instill into their children's upbringing a mental attitude of thanksgiving, but instead an attitude, I deserve everything and more. So many people, young people in America today, think that their parents and the government owe them. People, nobody owes you anything. When you're 18, it's goodbye. You're on your own now, kid. This is a daughter, then come home. See? But that's the way life is. The government or your parents don't owe you anything. You owe yourself the responsibility to take care of yourself. Psalm 22b. Now consider this. You who forget God. We have a Hebrew cow participle describing a class of people throughout all history. Forgetful. Principle, this is the opposite of thanksgiving. The word explains why people do not give thanks to God. Why do you not give thanks to God? Forget. Unfortunately, many today have never learned to remember God in the first place. What this word conveys is very important to God, for He never forgets His people. He never forgets you. We are never to forget Him. But people, He never forgets you. Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget. Even a mother may forget. But I will never forget you. That's the whole point, people. He will never forget you. Don't forget Him. I want to make sure you understand this in the spiritual realm. So many people forget. You do not earn or deserve anything from God in life. You forget some basic principles about life. Husbands and wives soon forget. Stop being thankful for their spouse. They stop appreciating their partner and all that they do. You reach a point where you assume you deserve it. They have to do this. She has to do this. She's my wife. He has to do this. He's my husband. I deserve it. That's it. And we lose the ability to say, thank you. Thank you. Sometimes this gets to the point where you actually think you earn or deserve everything they do for you. A husband or wife who fails to express thanksgiving is thoughtless, rude, arrogant, and headed for trouble in that marriage, which we'll start studying next Sunday morning. In regard to your children, parents, this is your responsibility to teach or train your children to have a constant mental attitude of thanksgiving, to be able to express thanksgiving. Your parents don't owe you those things. Thank them for them. This is part of life, but even more so for the believer who walks in the power and leading of the Holy Spirit of God. This is part of the Spirit-filled life. This is also applicable to your work, home, romance, social life. Now back to our context, 22b. Now consider this, you forget God. This is a description of America today. What does it mean to forget God? Obviously, we could spend months on this one question. You forget that He is your Creator, who gives you physical life. This is why they took the Bible out of the educational system in America. So they do not have to teach creation. They can teach evolution. No thanksgiving. No thoughtfulness of God. And that's the generation we have now. See? So this is what they did. So they could teach evolution instead of being thankful to a God. Secondly, you forget He is your Savior, who gives you eternal life. He gives us physical life. He gives us eternal life at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. No works involved. One child decision, saved forever. You forget that He has graciously given you His Word in writing. Just giving you His Word. People, they're just simple things. Let me just talk about, it's not in my notes, but in America, even the poorest person in America has access to a public library. And I mean, there is unbelievable material in any library. They can go in there and study the writers of history, literature, history, anything, everything is there. It's just a wonder. Computers are great. I'm amazed. At 76 years old, I'm amazed that I can take a phone and say, what's the weather outside? And it tells me. I can say, tell me what year Martin Luther nailed the 96 grievances on the wall of Wittenberg. It tells me. I have in my library a whole beautiful set of the Encyclopedia Britannica. I was so proud when I bought that. Man, it was the most up-to-date. I had an old one that I got at a pawn shop. That's probably a good place to get things when you're starting out. And I had it, but I could afford it. I got all these. I hardly look at them anymore. Once in a while, Judith will ask me something. We're in the bedroom. She'll ask, I'll get up. She'll say, oh, no. And I'll come back with Encyclopedia Britannica, and I'll open it up and read to her. I didn't want to know that much. I just wanted an answer. See? But it's just the library is packed. What I'm trying to show you is how much to give thanks to God for. That you're alive. That you can witness for Him. That you can learn about Him. You can learn about God. Understand God. And talk to God. So He has graciously given to us His Word in writing. This book. This book that you can buy at Walmart for $1.99. The Word of God. Inspired, infallible, inerrant. Protected by the Holy Spirit. Given by the Holy Spirit over 1,000 years. Protected by the Holy Spirit, putting it together. Protected by the Holy Spirit, the 66 books in it. That's His doing, not man's. And you and I have it in our possession. What more do we need to give thanks for? And then, add to that, the filling of the Holy Spirit, so that we can learn the Word of God. When you believed in Christ as Savior, every believer, boom, didn't feel it, was indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. Sealing ministry. You forget that He has graciously given you the Word in writing. You forget that He is the source of every blessing. These should lead to cause to thanksgiving to God. But forgetting these leads to living a self-centered life, depressed of what you don't have, happy you got that, depressed you didn't get this for Christmas, depressed you didn't get that, on and on and on. We've ruined even the commercial part of Christmas by getting depressed if you didn't get this and that. And we rear children thinking they ought to have an iPhone when they're 4 years old. They ought to have this. Ought to have a TV in their room. All these kind of things. When I grew up, we had one phone that was on a wall, and you held it in your hand. Come on. We had so much. Yeah. Break it. I wasn't that old. I'm not that old, Mike. I didn't have to crank our phone. Okay. Mike and Joyce are my neighbors. I'm glad to have them here this morning. Believers who live self-centered lives, forgetful and ungrateful. You live like you have forgotten that you are here by grace and that you live by grace. Now, what happens to people who forget God? Here's the warning. Lest I tear you in pieces and there is none to deliver. Now, here's a warning to learn about God. Here's his attitude toward those who forget him. I think we can all, humorously and seriously, you forget a woman's wedding or birthday, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And that's a woman. How about God? You forget God, he's really going to show you. He's really going to put you in a doghouse. See? Least. How many of us say least in our vocabulary anymore? Well, in the Hebrew, this is an averting conjunction. That is, if you want to avert God tearing you and your life into pieces, then you better start paying attention and stop forgetting God and start offering thanksgiving. That's what least means. It averts you to something. Least, tear you to pieces, in the Hebrew reveals the power and temperament of God. You're learning about God. It means to seize and to tear apart. It describes a most painful life, even death. It means that God is going to reach down, seize the person or the nation, and tear his life for the nation apart, which involves misery and pain. And then God has a little note in reference to his power in person. You have forgotten there is no power, no authority above mine. He is sovereign. He is sovereignty. Yes. Talking about a believer. Talking about a believer, unbeliever. You forget him, he doesn't like it. He doesn't like it when a believer forgets him. Unbeliever or believer. Okay? When you forget God. Now, so, and there is none to deliver. Wow. That's frightening. That's frightening. I wasn't part, wasn't even alive during the Great Depression. But I understand. You couldn't even go to a bank and get a loan for food. The banks were closed. It wasn't there. There was no one to help. That's got to be a horrible place to be in life. There's no one to help. You're out in the middle of nowhere, hurt yourself, cut yourself. There's no one. You're on your own. That's a horrible place to be. On your own. When you forget God, you are concentrating on something or someone else to give your life meaning, to give your life blessing, to give your life protection. And people, that's going to fail. People say, my parents are going to take care of me. The government's going to take care of me. What happens when the government's gone? The money's gone. What happens then? You're on your own. When you forget God, this also means that you have forgotten there is no power, there is no one who can come to your rescue when God is bringing divine discipline. When what is happening is of God, you're in hopeless condition. We have here what in the Hebrew is called the hifel stem for deliver. And I love the hifel. It means causative. To be caused to deliver. Caused to snatch away from danger. And there will be no one caused to deliver you. When you forget God, you place your confidence in something else to protect you from the problems on earth. Jeremiah 17:5, cursed is he who trusts in man. Now, back to Psalm 50, verse 23, our last verse of the chapter. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. Previous verse, forgot me, now honors me. And to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation or deliverance of God. What happens when you offer thanksgiving? You honor God. Angels watching. Man are aware. They honor God. Can you believe it? They actually thank God for their life. They actually thank God for the world. I can't believe they do that. Don't they know everything's by evolution? Don't they know that things just happen? There is no God? And here they are. They actually honor God. And I hope through 2019 you honor God. What happens is that you continue to fulfill your purpose here on earth. Most believers do not even know why they're here on earth. You are here to glorify God. Glorify Jesus Christ. One way we glorify Him is by faith. Another way, thanksgiving. 23a, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. Now, in the church age, we do not offer sacrifices of rituals. Let me tell you something. I'm thankful. I'd hate to have to deal with the blood. If I were a priest and the blood gets all over me, all over you, all over the altar, all over the floor, blood, and then I got to come in and clean it up. Well, that was in the Old Testament. In the church age, we don't have to do that, but we still offer sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's what is happening here. When you honor Him, that's what you're doing. See? To slaughter for sacrifice. Instead of you being torn and slaughtered for your forgetfulness, your sacrifice is slaughtered. That's the whole picture here in the passage. In the previous verse, you are slaughtered. This verse, your sacrifice is slaughtered. The English offer a sacrifice is all one word in the Hebrew. Next we have the kind of sacrifice, thorah, thanksgiving. Or as we have it here, the sacrifice of thank offering. Summary of thank offerings from our content. And with this, we'll close. One, giving thanks to God is first of all, and this is from just this passage, not from the whole Bible, it's from this passage. Giving thanks to God is first of all remembering God, the opposite of forgetting Him. Instead of forgetting God, when you offer thanksgiving, you're remembering God. You remember who He is and what He's done for you. Secondly, when you offer thanksgiving to God, not only are you remembering all about God, but you're remembering that you are totally dependent upon God. That all you are and have is from His grace, His compassion, His mercy, His love. Three, expressing thanksgiving is expressing gratitude for the being of God and for His blessings, beginning with physical life and then eternal life. Four, Leviticus 7:12, I want to draw this in. The peace offering is designed to teach the Hebrews of the person and work of the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. Now, the Jews had a mental attitude of thanksgiving for the person and work of Jesus Christ. Leviticus 7:12-14. In 2 Chronicles 29:31, thanksgiving must be from the desire and volition of the one who offers. It's a response to God. People, when a husband tells his wife thank you, and a wife tells her husband thank you, it's a response. There's a relationship as a response, a cognizance of each other, thinking of each other, responding, and expressing appreciation. Six, to the believer who is oriented to the plan of God, thanksgiving is related even to death, glorifying God in death. Seven, the thank offering is given in expression of thanks and praise of the deliverance of the Lord. 8. All grace of God is through His Son, the person of Jesus Christ. Therefore, when you give thanksgiving, you are occupied with Christ in that thanksgiving. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. We are here to glorify God before man, before angels, in the angelic conflict. Angels are watching. Angels are learning. They're learning by watching us. One way to do this is by thanksgiving. Honors me. This is what we call in the Hebrew a PL, and I love the PL. It's intensive. It's intense. Honors me, which is an intense part of your life when you're glorifying God. The word means that you place something or someone at the heart and core of your very existence. You honor them. Praise them. It is a relationship with Christ and the plan of God for your life. That your life has any merit, any value, it's from God. It's from God. It doesn't matter if the media doesn't know you're here. It doesn't matter if people don't know you're here. It doesn't matter if people at work don't care about you. It's God who honors you and you honor Him. It's God you give honor to. When you forget God, when you forget Jesus Christ and live a self-centered life, you dishonor Him. So be thankful in 2019 and honor Him. Now the next line is the second result of not forgetting God and having a mental attitude of thanksgiving. It affects the priorities of your life. A husband or wife who daily give thanks for each other will tend to treat them right. Psalm 50:23b. And to him who orders or sets his way straight. Now, in the Hebrew, we have two words, a verb and a noun. And the cow stem, to set or to put, and the noun to commit. Commitment is no issue in salvation. But in the issue in this Christian life, it is an issue. We commit ourselves to the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. We do this throughout the day, throughout our life. You have to determine what's important in your life. See, the gospel, you determine it one time. Salvation, after I die, what happens? Am I going to live eternally with God, or am I going to live eternally separated from God, suffering? So, we make a one-shot decision, a one-shot faith, small as a grain of mustard seed. God is so gracious, He just takes the littlest glimpse. I don't really think He had enough faith. It's a grain of mustard seed. It's all God's looking for. And you're saved eternally. But people, we live our life on earth, day in and day out. It's a daily commitment of faith in the Holy Spirit. You do not forget God, but think of Him. Remember Him. Psalm 50:23c, I shall show the salvation of God. Here you're learning about God. I shall show. The Hebrew word means to see or to have it here to, in the Hifil, caused to see. And when you offer thanks, watch what happens. When you offer thanks, you cause God to see something. How about that? He calls Him, the Hifil says, to see something. How does God cause us to see? The word Ra'ah means to reveal or illuminate. Illuminate is by the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. This is the issue in the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Abide in My Word. Now, I will be caused to see or have illuminated the deliverance of God. I like the word deliverance. It's the same Hebrew word can be translated salvation. Use the word salvation. Most people think only of eternal life salvation at the cross. So deliverance means something that happens throughout our life, even though both can be salvation. I think every time we regain the Holy Spirit from sin, we're salvation, being saved from the power of sin to the power of the Spirit. But I don't want to confuse that with eternal life salvation, so delivered. The Hebrew for salvation is yashah, and it means safety, welfare, deliverance. Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Psalm 50:23, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who sets his orders straight, aright, I will cause to see deliverance of God. Psalm 100, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who makes us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter the gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. His faithfulness to all generations. Let's close 2018, giving thanks. Enter 2019, giving thanks. And let that be the momentum of your entire year, giving thanks. We'll resume our New Year challenge tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Let's close in a word of prayer. What can we say, Father? We thank you. We thank you for your grace, your compassion, your mercy, your slowness of anger, your loving kindness. We thank you for the God you are. And Father, we thank you for revealing to us, unimportant people, to us, you've revealed to us who you are, that we can relate to you, that we can talk with you, we can come to you with our smallest hurts, our deep pains, and our joys. We praise you, Father, for the God you are. We pray, Father, you continue to use this assembly 2019 for the spreading of the gospel, the spreading of truth. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.